Would you turn your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 2? We'll just go through a few verses and related thoughts concerning the first temptation and the temptations that we face and how we can overcome temptations. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. God had told Adam and Eve here not to eat the fruit of the tree. In verse 17, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die. God had specifically told Adam and Eve that if you disobey this, you will surely die. But when Satan came to Eve in the garden to tempt her, you know what she said? In chapter 3 and verse 4, she said, and the serpent said to the woman, you shall surely not die. See, God had told, if you eat of the tree, you shall surely die. And Satan twists, that is his nature. He always twists God's word and downplays it and makes it appear as if God really didn't mean it. And he said, you shall surely, the same word that God used, you shall surely die. Satan says, you shall surely not die. See, this is the reason why many people don't have the fear of God in them. They go on sinning because Satan has brainwashed, and the people around them have brainwashed, and they have seen people around them living in a different way, contrary to God's word and ways, and they get sort of sucked into that pattern of living, and they lay aside God's word, and the seriousness of it goes. And when the seriousness of God's word goes from our life, we become flippant and careless towards God's word. And we take it for granted that God is a God of love. Indeed, yes, it is true. He is God of love. He is God of mercy. But at the same time, we need to realize that He is also a God of truth and justice. And He will not, you know, let us escape just like that. The soul that sinneth, it says in Ezekiel, that it shall die. So when God has said something and we try to, you know, suit it to our convenience, we lose what God has promised. And when Satan said like this, you know, she fell for it. God has given the same warning to us even in the New Testament. You can turn with me to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 13. It says, if you are living according to the flesh, you shall surely die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. If you live according to the flesh, you will surely die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds or the misdeeds of the body, you will live. You see, this is how sin starts. Let us now see the progression of sin, how sin progressed. Go down to Genesis 3, verse 6. When Satan said this to Eve, Eve believed that, and then she went ahead. And what did she do? Verse 6 of chapter 3 of Genesis, it says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took it and ate. And she also gave it to Adam, who was with her. See, many times we think that it was only when Eve was alone that Satan came and tempted her, and Adam was not there. But we read here, if we read carefully the word of God, we see that he was also there next to her. She gave it to her husband who was with her, and he also ate it. Now you see the progression of sin here. First of all, she saw, and then she found that it was a delight to the eyes. See, always temptation comes, you know, in a neatly and very, in an attractive package. It is desirable to the eyes. Delight to the eyes, and it was desirable for the flesh. And then she saw it, she took it, reached out for it, and then she ate it. This is how sin progresses. We see it, we desire it, we take it, and we eat it. And thus, sin is conceived. You read similar thing in Joshua. Exact steps that happened in Joshua chapter 7, verse 21. We know the story where the Israelites went for a war against a small city called Ai, and there God had told them not to touch any of those things which were under the ban. And here is one guy, his name is Achan, and he, you know, when they went to plunder the place, he saw some things there. He got tempted by that, and then he, let us see how sin progressed in his life. Verse 20, it says, when Joshua told him, "My son, I implore you, give glory to God and tell me exactly what happened." Verse 20, he says, Achan answered to Joshua and said, "Truly I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel, and this is what I did." What is it that he did? "I saw among the spoil a beautiful mantle from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold 50 shekels in weight, and then I coveted them and I took them." See, he also saw, he also coveted, he took, and then he hid. And this is how sin progressed, and he also fell. See, this is how, these are the stages of temptation that, you know, we all experience. And this is the first temptation that we saw in the Garden of Eden, and then sin continued from then on, and it is continuing even now, and it will continue till the day that the Lord comes. So until then, we don't have to despair. God has made a way for us. Now let us see what temptations that we face and how we can overcome it. We read in James 1:13. This is the way temptation comes. James, the book after Hebrews. James 1, 13 to 15. "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone." We need to understand in this scripture that it's never God who tempts us. Temptations don't come from God. God doesn't tempt, and he cannot be tempted either. It says here very clearly, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. Let this be very clear in our mind, that God will not tempt you. He allows you to be tempted, but he will not tempt himself. We will read later on in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, God will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability. We will see that later on. But here it says in verse 14, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. You see, it is through our own lust we are being tempted, and then we are carried away. And then, when lust has conceived, when we give assent to that, then the lust gets conceived and it gives birth to sin. And when sin attains its adulthood, like it says in one translation, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. We read in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The ultimate result of sin is death. But the free gift that God has given to us is through Jesus Christ, salvation through Jesus Christ. This is how sin progresses. You see, when we know that certain places, certain people, certain circumstances, certain things that are not good for us, it's good for us to avoid them. Such places, for instance, there's no point in lingering around cinema theaters or near girls' colleges, young people, or have things that are very easy to tempt you, like computers. These days you have phones where you can, you know, go where you want to go, click on what you want to click and see what you want to see. It's good for you if you keep your computer in a place where everybody can see what you're watching and not in your closed room being alone with that. It's a temptation which you cannot avoid because nobody can say I'm strong enough. And you can't go to a site and see how, let me see how long I can watch this without polluting myself. You're already polluted, you don't know it. You think you're trying to, you know, find out how strong you are, but you have already fallen. My dear brothers and sisters, stay away from such things and places. And also, Paul says in the epistles to Timothy and also to Titus, he says, avoid certain kind of people. You need to look out for those who are, you know, gossips, those who are backbiters, those who are ungrateful, those who are, you know, they don't value spiritual things, and those who are talkative, those who talk too much. You know, the Bible says clearly, avoid such men as these. And when you avoid, they may get offended or hurt. So be it. This for your salvation. Take heed to God's word. When God says avoid certain people, do avoid, even if they are sitting here in CFC, for your own salvation. Then we read further. You see, in James 4:4, in the same thing we read here, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You know, how do we sin? We sin by being friendly with the world. What does it mean to be friendly with the world? I want you to turn to 1 John 2:15. I would like to read that from the Living Bible. 1 John 2:15. It says, "Stop loving this evil world and all that it offers you. For when you love these things, you show that you do not really love God. For all these worldly things, these evil desires, the craze for sex, the ambition to buy everything that appeals to your eyes, and the pride that comes from wealth and importance." You see, all those, look at all the wealthy people. They have an air of, pride, superiority about them. You rarely find a rich person who is really humble. Rich people always have an air of arrogance and pride about them. Avoid these things, worldly things such as craze for sex and ambition to buy everything that you see, that appeals to you, and the pride that comes from wealth and importance. These are not from God, they are from this evil world itself. Now you see where we are being tempted. First of all, we have a flesh in which dwells no good thing. We have an enemy within us, always trying to fight against God's word, God's will, God's spirit. The flesh and the spirit always at war with each other. But sin gets conceived only when I consent. If I don't consent, if I resist, if I cry out for help, God is near those who cry out to Him. We read in Deuteronomy, I want you to just look at that verse in Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 27. There is a verse here, some of you may be familiar with this. It says, "When a person finds an engaged woman or a virgin in the field, and the engaged girl cried out, but there was no one to save her, then," it says, "she is not guilty because she cried out." You go home and read that, the previous and subsequent verses. When she was attacked by a man in a field where there was no one, but she didn't cry out, that means both are guilty. But if she had cried out for help and there was no one to help, she is not guilty. See, this principle applies to us in our temptations also. When I don't cry out to God when I'm being tempted, and I sort of give my consent to that, and I say yes to it, then it gets conceived and brings forth sin. And when sin grows to adulthood, it brings forth death. So this is exactly what happens to us. That's why God has said, "Call unto me in the day of trouble." Psalm 50 verse 15, I think. "Call unto me in the day of trouble. I will rescue you. I will help you. And then you shall glorify me." So as long as I keep silent and enjoy the pleasure of sin, God will not come to my rescue. It says in Psalm 51 also, "He is close to the brokenhearted, and he desires truth from the inward parts." He is close to the brokenhearted. If we cry out to him, he says, "Here I am." If we cry out to him, he says, "Lo, I am with you always," he has said. He has promised never to leave us nor to forsake us. See, we need to realize we live in a sin-cursed earth, full of sin, and we have a flesh in which dwells no good thing. And we are very prone to sin, even though we have confessed our sins and asked the Lord to forgive us and to cleanse us. He has done it, but how do we carry on from here? After once we are saved, how do we go on, you know, putting them to death? That is only when, as we yield to the Lord and as we yield to the Holy Spirit. Like we read in Romans 8:13, it says, through the Holy Spirit, if you make it a habit, and if you continually keep on putting the deeds or the misdeeds of the body to death, then you shall live. This is how we are to live on a daily basis. Jesus taught us to pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation this day, but deliver us from the evil one. That is, he said, give us this day our daily bread. Same prayer, the next verse it says, give us this day our daily bread, and today lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. If that is my heart's cry, and I go with that urgency and with that entreaty in my heart, with that cry in my heart throughout the day, Lord, I face people, I face circumstances which sometimes may be too much for me to bear. Lord, I need you. I need your help. I need your grace. I want you to help me. Sometimes you may fall, don't worry. For your encouragement, there is the same chapter that we read in 1 John 2. Verse 1 and 2. My little children, I am writing these to you that you may not sin. See, this is God's will for us, that we be free from sin. I am writing to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, he is not saying that you will not sin. But if anyone sins, don't lose heart. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, not only our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. And we need to realize that God is on the side of those who seek him and who seek his help. And he is on the side of the humble. We read in Romans 6:14. See, after we have been forgiven, we come to a relationship with God as father and son or daughter. We have God for our father, and I am his son, and you're his daughter. And when we have this relationship with him, it says we come under grace. We are no longer under the law. Under the law it was only commandments, thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt, but there was no help given. But in the new covenant, the law is there, and there is power within us through the Holy Spirit. We read here in verse 14 of chapter 6, for sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Some people take it and misquote it and say, now that we are under grace, we can go on sinning. The next verse it says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? May it never be. Go home and read the further verses that are down there. See, it is to the humble that God gives grace. The same thing even Peter and James say. We can read that even in Peter. One Peter. Chapter 5 and verse 5. 1 Peter 5, 5. You, younger men, likewise be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You see here, the man who is proud, he makes God his enemy, or God becomes his enemy. And the man who is humble is the person who receives grace from God. What is grace? Grace is not just unmerited favor, which many people take it. Grace is help. We read in Hebrews 4:15. Can we see that verse? In Hebrews 4:15. This is how we overcome our temptations. Or maybe we can read from verse 14. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are. See, Jesus came in the flesh. We read earlier that God cannot be tempted. But here we read that Jesus was tempted because he came as a man. He laid aside his divine privileges and took upon himself the form of a bond slave. Came in our flesh, and that's why he was tempted. And he was tempted in all points like as we are, but yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may find mercy, and mercy for our past sins, and grace to help us in our time of need in the future. See, because Jesus has gone through this, he is very well able to understand you and me. And he is able to help us overcome, just as he overcame through the power of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, let us draw near with confidence. In other words, let's come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy, that is pardon for our past sins, and help, that is grace, in our time of need in the future. In the Old Covenant, the psalmist said in Psalm 41, a very lovely verse, I want all of you to remember this. How do I know that I have overcome sin, or I am progressing, or that I am, you know, the sin is losing its hold on me? How do I know? Psalm 41, verse 11. Psalm 41, verse 11. It says, by this I know that thou art pleased with me, because my enemy does not shout in triumph over me. You see, when our enemies are silenced, when my flesh is silenced, there's a verse in the Old Testament, it says, the Lord is on the throne, let all flesh be silent, it says. When we recognize the Lord enthroned, like Isaiah saw the Lord enthroned, then the flesh becomes silent. My enemies become silent. Because my enemy does not shout in triumph over me. Because of this, I know that you are pleased with me. You see, this is the mark of a person who is progressing spiritually. His enemy shall not gloat over him. His enemy shall not triumph over him. Every time the enemy rears his head, like a cobra that every time rears its head, you know, you whack it on its head. You keep doing that over a period of time, it loses its power and strength even to lift up its hood. Like that, sin also loses its hold on you, loses its grip over you, slowly, slowly, and day by day, area by area, sin by sin after sin, you will overcome and you will conquer more and more and more land like the Israelis did. Can we see that verse in 1 Corinthians 10:13 I was just referring to? 1 Corinthians, we all think that, you know, it is something beyond me. I cannot help it. But look at what God's word says. God's word says, or maybe we can read verse 12. There may be some, you know, very self-confident and bold people among us who may think that, oh, I have heard, I have seen some people. Brother, you don't know what self-control I have, how strong I am. When I say no, that is no. When I can quit smoking. When I want, I can quit drinking. Yeah, go ahead. They make New Year resolutions and you see just after 10, 15 days, they're back to square one. These are those, you know, very bold and confident and proud people who glory in their self-control. What happens to them? I have seen numerous people like that, numerous times. And they are back to square one. These addicts, drug addicts, and those who are addicted to pornography. See, verse 12, it says, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. The fellow who thinks that he stands, he's okay. He can overcome by his own grit and determination. Brother, please take heed, lest you fall. Humble yourself and say, Lord, I cannot manage this. I don't have the self-control that I think I have. I need you. Next verse it says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. That means no temptation is something beyond your reach. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. That means a common temptation that comes to everybody has come to you. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Remember that. This should encourage us. When we are tempted, no temptation has overtaken us such as is common to everybody. And it says, God is faithful, he will not allow you to be tempted beyond that you are able to bear. But with the temptation, he will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. In the KJV, I think it says, he will also make a way of escape so that you may be able to bear under it. Means, you know, you can carry that load. You can bear under it. Something like this wrestlers, you know, they push great weights. God will give you the strength. This is how God helps. God is, remember always, God is on our side against the devil. He will never leave you nor forsake you, he said in Hebrews 13. I will never, never, never leave you, it says in the original. That means the Father, Son and the Holy Spirit, as if all three of them are saying to you, I will never, never, never leave you nor forsake you. Remember that. Sometimes you may feel that you're down in the dumps. Sometimes you may feel, Lord, like Peter felt it, Lord, I've blown it up in a big way. Lord, I said, even if everybody, you know, denies you, I will not deny. I will even give my life to you. With such bold confidence he asserted, and the Lord said, yeah, before the cock crows tomorrow, twice, you will have denied me thrice. And that's exactly what he did. After what he did, he was so sad, remorseful, went out and wept bitterly, repented, and found mercy. See, God was on his side, even though he let down the Lord so badly. We have let down the Lord so badly in our life, numerous times, yet the Lord has not given up on us. He has hope for us because he has given his Son, Jesus Christ, for us. He took your sin and my sin on the cross, died on the cross, shed his blood, and purchased you, not with silver or gold, but with his precious blood, unblemished, unspotted. And we are his, and he is mine. He's ours. He's on our side against the devil. Remember that always, my dear brothers and sisters. God's intention is that we walk in victory all the time. Not some of the time, nor most of the time, but all of the time. Don't worry if you falter, if you fail. God is on your side, so long as you repent and get up. Like somebody said, when you fall, don't lie down there like a banana peel. If you fall, bounce up like a rubber ball. Have you ever seen a rubber ball fallen there and wondering what I should do next? What scripture verse I should obey? Brothers and sisters, when you fall, fall like a rubber ball, not like a banana peel. Don't cause others also to slip and fall. Jump immediately. Get back on track. Confess. Forsake. Come back to the Lord. And he said, all day long I stretched out my hand to welcome my people, he says, to Israel and to his people in the new covenant. How much more for us when we want to do his will. And one last verse I want to read in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 and 58. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, this is God's will for you and me. Victory, to walk in victory every day, all the days of your life. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Maybe you could read a couple of verses before that. From 55, it says, O death, where is your victory? We saw how sin is conceived and how death is born. And here it says, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not vain in the Lord. Let us come boldly, confessing, the Lord is my helper. I will not be put to shame. He said he will never leave me nor forsake me. Thanks be to God, he always causes me to walk in victory, always triumphant, And like that memory verse we read in Romans 16:20, the God of peace himself will crush Satan under your feet one of these days. Confess that on a daily basis. My God will see to it that Satan is crushed under my feet one of these days, and all sin will come under my feet, and I will be triumphant over them. I will rule over them. Sin shall not rule over me, for I am not under law but under grace. I will rule over sin. I will be more than conquerors through him who loved us. So one of these days God will help you and me continue in the faith, my dear brothers and sisters. And don't get bogged down, don't get discouraged. Remember, God is on your side against sin and Satan. May God bless us, help us. Amen.
Praise God for what we heard. I see God's heart. In the very beginning, you know, God not only gives us a salvation and forgiveness of sin, something beyond that. God wants us to be overcomers. I was thinking about way back in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve failed. God, in very next chapter, we see, we read that chapter 2, and then verse chapter 4, Genesis chapter 4, when Cain was angry with his brother. When he had jealousy, God gives him a saying that, Genesis chapter 4 verse 6, then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will it not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, and you must master it. That is the God's heart. As soon as he saw the fallen race, God wants to lift us up. God is giving us the words of faith, saying, you can master it. I believe that God, that is a God's desire, my brothers and sisters. Even in the last book of the Bible, Revelation, I was so blessed looking at it. Many times we find overcome. We read in Revelation chapter 2, you know, seven churches when God was speaking. All the churches we see, one thing so common is that he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the church. He who overcomes, I will make him sit at the table. He who overcomes, I will reveal the hidden manna to him. That is a God's heart, my brothers and sisters. God wants us to lead us to the overcoming life. Even we read in Romans chapter 6 verse 14, sin shall not master over you. How is it possible? We live in a world. We have a flesh which dwells nothing good in us. Only the filth, the flesh is pulling us so much, and we yield to temptation. But there is a way out, my brothers and sisters. Jesus came as a man to show us an example how to overcome. He is our captain. He is our leader. He is our forerunner. We can follow him. You know, when he came to earth, he taught us in the beginning to his disciples, Lord, pray, lead us not into temptation. Not only that, he himself was tempted. The devil led him to wilderness and he was tempted and he overcame, not as a God, but as a man. And I was thinking about it. What an example we have before us. Not just live a life satisfied, live a mediocre life and I got a forgiveness of sin and go with happily. No, brothers and sisters, God wants to lead us higher where we come into the victorious life. That is possible because God said, you must master over it. And God spoke so much that we can overcome. It is possible. And I was thinking about example of Jesus, how he overcame. One thing that came to me is that in the days of his flesh, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, in the days of his flesh, He offered up both prayers and supplication with a loud crying and tears to the one who was able to save him from the death. And he was heard because of his piety. I believe that God had a desire in our heart. We heard it. God has given us today the Holy Spirit. We could cry out and say, Lord, save me. I believe God is willing to help us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 and 15, we heard that verse. Hebrews chapter 4. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but the one who has been tempted in all the things as we are, yet without sin. And then verse 16, let us therefore draw near with confidence the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. God is willing to help us, my brothers and sisters. Like we heard, God is on our side against the devil. And he wants to help us. Who else he will help? Not to the angels, but to us, ministering spirits. God wants to help us in every moment when we have a cry out. I pray that the Lord would help us, my brothers and sisters. Hebrews 2, verse 18, it says, for since he himself was tempted that in that which he was suffered, he is able to come to aid of those who are tempted. I believe God wants to help us. You know, God has opened a new and living way for us, that he has sent for the Holy Spirit who can help us, who can come alongside to help us. Jesus said, I will send you another helper. I will go so that I can send you another helper who can come alongside to help us. My brothers and sisters, whatever may be the struggle, we can hear that voice. God is saying to us, sin is crouching at your door of your heart. You can master it. My brothers and sisters, we can master it. It is possible. That is the life which God wants each one of us. Not just come here and go away. Let it not Christian life become a routine that we, week after week, hear. Nothing happens in our life. God wants to do something new in our life. God wants to work in us. And he wants to change us. That overcoming life, it is possible. God is on the throne, my brothers and sisters. He wants to help us. I pray that the Lord would... He has given us a promise. No temptation has... Oh, we heard that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14. No temptation has overtaken to you, but such as common to men. But God is faithful. My brothers and sisters, God is faithful. He will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. He knows us. And today, if I hear his voice, Lord, help me. Like the Peter... When he walked on the water, when he saw Jesus walking on the water, he was so excited. Lord, will you help me to walk on the water? And Jesus said, come. And he doubted and he was about to sink. And he cried out, Lord, help me. May we have that cry in our hearts, my brothers and sisters. That is the cry that will help us. And the Holy Spirit that we can depend on, who can come alongside to help us. May God help us. May God give us humility. We read in Hebrews chapter 4, God gives grace to the humble. You know, James we read. And Hebrews 4 we read, let us come to the throne of grace to receive help in the time of need. May God help us.